We're going to be in Psalms, the 46th chapter. I'm going to read all the 46 Psalm, 1 through 11. I guess the question you could ask is God with us? And that's what I want to preach a little bit about today. Is God with us? We're in Psalms 46. Give you a second to get there. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river, the streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved, God shall help her that right early. The heathen rage, the kingdoms removed, he uttereth his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, that desolation he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariots in fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Now listen to this last part. The Lord of hosts is with us. I want you to remember that. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, I come with thanksgiving totally in my heart this morning for you, Father. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt as I stand up here behind this sacred desk, Lord, that I cannot do anything without you. I understand that. I pray, Father, that your Spirit would come, Lord, that it would be amongst the hearts here today, Lord, that the hearts would be receptive today, Lord. I pray that, Father. I pray, Lord, that you know that you'd go with each and every individual here. I pray that you'd go with their families. I pray that you'd go with those, Lord, out in this world that we live in today, Lord. And the Father, that they could know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are the God of God. You are the Lord of Lords. And we'll give you the praise for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We may ask the question sometimes, where is God? It's an appropriate question to ask sometimes. Maybe we might ask, where is God? And I want to ask you something. We may have asked that question on December 14, 2012. We probably were sitting there asking that question when innocent little children were slaughtered like animals. We were probably asking that question, where was God? Where was God when evil seemingly was allowed to run rampant? We may have asked that question. I'll tell you where he was. I'll tell you where he was. He was present. And he was not just present. Praise God, he was very present. Amen. That's where he was at. I'm telling you right now this morning that he was in that school and he was in that classroom. That's where God was at. Yes, I'm aware that in this country that we live in, we've tried to kick him out. We've tried to take prayer out of schools. We have tried and successfully tried to take the Ten Commandments out of our schools. And I want to read to you what the Supreme Court ruled whenever they did this, and I will get to my point here in a little bit. The Supreme Court ruled that if the Ten Commandments were posted, copies of the Ten Commandments are to have any effect at all, it will be to induce the school children to read, to meditate upon, and perhaps to venerate upon the commandments. May I be as bold to translate to you what that means? What they were telling us was they didn't want them displayed because it might take some little innocent heart. They might read them. They might study upon them. They might meditate upon them. And you know what they may do? They may obey the Ten Commandments. That's what they didn't want happening. That's what they didn't want happening. So, if a child would read, thou shalt not kill, Lord forbid that he would read them, Lord forbid that he'd meditate upon them, and Lord forbid that they might obey them. That's exactly. But you know what the only problem is? That they cannot take the omnipotent one out of anywhere. They don't have the authority to do that. They cannot take the omnipresent God out of anywhere. They cannot do that. And I want you to know the God I serve was was in that classroom in Sandy Hook that morning. He was there. He was there. He was gathering those kids up like a hen would gather her chicks up. Do you understand that this morning? I want you to know that. That's what the God that I serve was doing. I know this because Jesus said over in Matthew 19:40, but Jesus said, suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Amen. He was the same Jesus that wept at the grave of Lazarus. He's the same Jesus that weeps and the same God that weeps when tragedy strikes our lives. That God was there that morning. His heart especially for little children. I want you to know that God that we serve, He reaches out to that, especially for little children. The Bible tells us, you know what gets God's fullest attention? I want you to know what gets God's fullest attention. The shedding of innocent blood. It gets God's fullest attention. It gets it more. Look at Deuteronomy 27:25. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person, and all the people shall say what? They shall say amen. I want you to know this morning, if you want to get God's attention, if anybody knows, it's a shedding of innocent blood gets God's attention. Where was God when there was a Sandy Hook presence happened? He was in His very presence. He was there, brothers and sisters. He was all over that kind of situation. He was there. Genesis 18:25, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Do you understand that? Shall not the God that loves and cares, shall He not do right? Amen. He will do it. God is love, and He is where He is needed most. And praise God, and whenever God is needed, I want you to know, no matter what kind of tragedy you've been in, no matter what happens, the God that I serve is there. He is there. Don't ever think that He's not. I want you to know that those precious children are not just in a better place, they're in the best place that they could ever be. Do you agree with me on that? I want you to know that them children are spending the best Christmas that they will ever spend. Amen. They are. I'll tell you, I'm so sorry for them families. There's nothing that you can say or do to help their soul right now. But I want you to know this today, that the God that I serve has got a hold of them. They will never be touched again. Amen. They will never, I'll tell you, this has been something on my heart for 2 weeks. You're just going to have, please just bear with me on this. Those children are experiencing the best Christmas ever. You know what? Some events in human history, and I'm going to get to the point where I'm talking about, I'll tell you what, they impact us so deeply. They impact us so deeply that they're inevitably just inscribed on our minds forever. And you know what we say? Where were you when this situation happened? What were you doing? Just like the Space Shuttle Challenger when it blew up. Or like whenever the President Kennedy was assassinated, or whenever 9/11 happened. Those things are always stuck in our mind, and I could probably ask every one of you where and what you were doing. But you know what is always sometimes comes up is, whenever these situations hit us, just like Sandy Hook, just like 9/11, it says, where was God in all this? Well, I want to tell you today, I want to use the Bible, and I'm going to show you where the God that I serve is at whenever stuff like that happens. I want you to know where He's at. I'll tell you, where was God? Where was He when all this stuff was going about? And I know the questions asked, why couldn't He do this? Why couldn't He do that? The same place that the God was whenever Sandy Hook happened, whenever 9/11 happened, He was in the same place that He was at whenever Adam and Eve rebelled in the Garden of Eden. That's where God was at whenever it all first started, right? There was God when man first raised his ugly head of defiance and rebellion, whenever sin come into this world and sin cursed this world that we live in. Where was God? God was there. Amen? He was there. You see, it is not a matter of whether He could have stopped it. You know, God could have made a bunch of robots. That's exactly what He could have done. He could have made two robots, which have been Adam and Eve, and they could have lived serving God the rest of His life. You know what? I want you to know something. The rest of us wouldn't have been here. Do you understand that? Adam and Eve weren't going to repopulate this earth. They were made in God's own image. They would have been in the Garden of Eden, and there may not have been another human being if they hadn't fallen. Do you understand that this morning? All right, God didn't create a bunch of robots. All right, what happened? You say, well, he created the angels. The angels obviously had a choice because the devil fell, did he not? And a third of these angels? I want you to know, whenever he made mankind, we had a choice. And I'll tell you this morning, that young man that was possessed by the devil, that went into that school to shoot them kids, he had a choice to do what he did. Because why? Because sin is in this world, because we all have a choice. You had a choice to get up out of that bed and come to church this morning. You had a choice to lay underneath them covers this morning. But you got up out of there and you come to serve God this morning. I want you to know there isn't an individual in this church that does not have a choice to do what they need to do because God has given us a free will. He has given us a free will to serve Him and to do what we want to do. That young man that morning, he did not have to do, he did not have to pull the trigger on him. But you know what? He chose to do what he did. And I want you to know this morning, he will answer for that in eternity. And I'll tell you what, I would not want to be in that young man's shoes. I'll tell you, never will I ever want to be it. But he had a choice, and I want you to know, he could have used it for good, but he did not. Where was God when Adam and Eve did that? It was a matter of His design for humanity. We had a choice. We are not robots. We are not robots whatsoever. God did not make us like that. And God created human beings the way that we are because we got that. When Adam and Eve finally fessed up, where was God? I want you to know, He was there to cover their sin up. He was there to cover their nakedness up. That's where God was at. And I want you to know something this morning. If you are here and do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, God is here to cover your sins up. He sent His Son to die upon a cross that you could have salvation. Praise God. I praise God for this time of year, for Jesus coming into this earth. But I want you to know the most important thing that He ever did was go to that cross and die freely for you and me to cover our sin. And you know what? In Genesis 3, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. God was there. Was He there? Yes, He was. Genesis 3:9, and the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? He was there when this was all going on. And I want you to know, if you're here this morning and don't know Him, He is here this morning. The Spirit is calling you this morning. He wants you to be saved this morning. Praise God. Genesis 3:21, God made coats of skin and clothed them. God exacting the ultimate punishment on an innocent victim. He took a lamb or a goat or whatever it was, and He killed it, and He covered it because of their sins. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? A few thousand years later, God took His innocent Son and killed Him. For what? For the sins of all mankind. It reminds us of a Jesus Christ who died upon the cross, does it not? But I want you to know God was in the midst of that. He was there. Where was God? The same place He was at when the greatest natural disaster that's ever hit this earth hit it. Where was God whenever Noah was on this earth? After Adam and Eve, after generation, as sin built up, where was God during all that time? I want you to know He was there to protect His own. Amen. That's where God was. Sadly, man's rebellion did not end with Adam and Eve. It didn't do it until the wickedness of this earth was so great. Till God had in His mind, He was going to wipe mankind completely off the earth. God had it in His mind. But the Bible says one man found grace. And that was Noah. Where was God when all this happened? God told him exactly what to do. He told him to build an ark. And I want you to know, look in a mirror today, folks. If you don't think it's not gotten worse, because of the reason that sin will come upon this earth because of Adam and Eve, this earth is cursed. This earth is cursed with sin. Whenever God destroyed man back in the time of Noah, whenever Noah came out of that ark and got back on this earth and started repopulating the earth, I want you to know that curse of sin was still there. And I want you to know that curse is still there today. Does it sound familiar? I'll tell you what, I'm sure God's nostrils are full with what's going on this earth today. And I'll tell you what, I'd say this, you know what? He was there, was he not? God, but never found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Was God there? Sounds to me like he was all over it, doesn't it to you? It sounds to me like, you know what? Whenever Noah went into the ark, Noah didn't shut the door. Who shut the door? God shut the door. Amen. I want you to know he was all over it. Whenever disaster hit our life, I want to tell you this morning, God is there. He's there. He's on his throne protecting his own. Amen. That's where the God, 2 Peter 2:5, and it said, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. I'll tell you what, where was God? God was in the same place whenever Joseph was rotting away in jail. Amen. That's where God was at. You want to talk about a person that has a right to complain? Listen, God was ever present, accomplishing the will that he needed done, using Joseph through his trials, through his tribulations, whatever he did, to make to what God needed Joseph to be. That's what it was. More than that, Joseph, at the time, he was going through it. If anyone ever misunderstood or mistreated, it was Joseph. Amen? It was. Brother selling him into slavery. Miss Potiphar accusing him of rape. And we get, you know, the lapse of the memory of his butler. Listen, folks, yet through each step, God was there molding him into what God wanted him to be. Now, I want you to know something this morning, brothers and sisters. I don't know what you're going through or what's in your life today. God, maybe, you may think that, listen, this is terrible. I've served you, God. You know what? God never promised you a bed of roses. The only thing God promised you is if you accept His Son as your Savior, you're going to heaven one of these days. Praise God, and that's where you'll end up if you keep a hold of His hand. And Joseph said in Genesis 50:20, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day the saved much people. I want you to know there's going to be times when the old devil's going to try to bring stuff against you, and you know what? God's going to bring it for his good. He's going to use it for his good one of these days. There were times I'm sure Joseph must have thought and wondered where was God. But in the end, he realized God was there all along. I want you to understand, whenever stuff like that happens, God's there. God is there. Where was God? He was in the same place he was when old Job lost her all. I want you to understand this, folks. You know, these stories aren't just fairy tales. He was there when Job lost it all. He was present and proving himself to be God despite unfortunate circumstances. Listen, Job would rank at the top in human history of experiencing bad things happen. He has to rank right up there. He lost 10 children, over 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 oxen, 500 donkeys, and Job 1:3, so that this man was the greatest of all men of the East. That's what they called Job. That's what they said. Job lost everything of value on this earth. He lost it all. What are you supposed to happen? Did God turn his back on Job? Did Job turn his back on God? Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. God had not deserted Job. And said Job would not curse God as he was instructed to do. Where was God? Where was God when Job's children were being killed by the storm? Where was he when all these grandchildren and all these in-laws were being killed? Where was God? God was right there. He was right there. You know what? Where was God when Job's flesh was wrecked with pain? If you read in the second chapter, he had boils all over him. He allowed Satan to put boils all over him. Where was God at that time? And you may ask the same thing in your life. You know what, God, I'm going through so much. What's going on in my life? You know what, God is right there if you're willing to reach out and understand what's going on, what God wants you to understand. God was there. Job maintained his integrity. He recognized it was God's sovereign providence to do unto him what God so desired. God made us, folks. The God that we serve made us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I like what old Job said in 121, and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord give, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen. I tell you, that's a kind of God. God was there, and you better believe he was there. Job was very upright. But I want you to know, he was not immune to bad things happening to him. Listen, he lived on this planet just like we do. There's disasters, there's storms, there's floods, there's sickness. We live on this sin-filled planet. Those things are there. And praise God when he keeps us from them sometimes. But there's times in our life when these things are going to come. And don't turn our back on God. Don't curse him and say, God, why? God is there all through this all. He's there for us. Those willing to kill and steal, they're there, folks. John 8:44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. The devil is a murderer, and you don't think things are going to happen in this life? The devil's out to seek that which he can destroy. And that's what he will do. Satan is the destroyer. He does not discriminate between an innocent little child and an evil person that's out to destroy and to kill. The devil does not discriminate against that. He has God does not cause such tragedies, folks. Let's understand that. God does not cause. But I want you to know something. There are times when God will pull his hands back, and I want you to know his protecting hands back, and let things happen. But why? Because they know the wages of sin is death. Is why? Because death is in this world. Sin is in this world, and he will allow that to happen. So show people to get their attention. God was of the giving him. In the end of it, Job received double of what he had. Yes, God was all over. Listen, he got 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 oxen, 1,000 donkeys. He got 7 sons and 3 daughters back. I want you to know, in the end of it, there was where God was, right there toward the end of it. God was there. He was all over it all the way through. Me, I could go on and on and on. I'll tell you, listen, what about Moses? Where was God in Moses? Where was God whenever Samson was needing him? Where was God whenever Jonah was needing him? Where was God whenever Daniel needed him? What about Peter and John? What about Paul? I could go through every one of them and take the rest of the day and tell you where God was at through each circumstance. But I want you to know something. God was there. He was in every one of them circumstances. He was there. But the greatest insight, if you want to see the heart of God, the greatest thing, if you want to see the heart of God and the inside of where God was, happened on another Friday, about 2,000 years ago, when the only son that God had was sent to a cross, listen to me, to die for those people like you and me, those people that are lost and undone without a Savior. He went to the cross to die. He died for that young man that pulled the trigger up there in Sandy Hook. He died for the young men that pulled the trigger out in Columbine. He died for any individual in this world. He died for them all. And I want you to know the God that we serve sent his son to that cross. And you can say, well, he could have prevented that, couldn't he? Yes, he could if he wanted to. God could have prevented it. And I'll tell you what. What did he do? Whenever Jesus is on the cross, God was still there, but he simply turned his back because God could not look upon the sin that was going to be placed on his own son. Couldn't look upon it. He could not. He was very present. Matthew tells us that he didn't flee the scene. He just simply turned his back. He simply turned his back. Even Jesus himself felt forsaken. Has anybody here ever felt forsaken? Have you ever felt forsaken? I want you to know, I'll tell you, there have been times in my life I have. I've had to get on my knees and say, God, why? Where are you at, God? Why? And you know what? He speaks that sweet peace to me. Tell me, I'm right here. I'm right here. No matter what you're going through, I'm right here. And you know what? He allowed the weight of the sin of the world to be placed on Jesus' shoulder, where he hung on that cross and he was dying. Do you not think God could not have come down and ripped him off of there if he'd have wanted to? I'll tell you what, Jesus said, do you not think I could not have called 10,000 legions of angels? One would have been enough. One would have been enough. He could have called 10,000. He could have called 10,000 legions. Didn't you know that? The Father prevented it. Yes, he could have. Of course he could have. Why did he not? Because God knew. God knew. God knew. Brothers and sisters, that we needed a Savior. God knew it. You know what? For this, we better be glad that he did not take him off there. We better be glad for that. He wasn't just sitting idle and hapless. He was using the schemes of the wicked to fulfill his plans. And I want you to know, the old devil might have thought that, you know what, up there, he'd gotten out of old school up there and killed all them kids, and he's probably thinking and jumping for joy because of all the hate that's going on out there, of all the stuff that's going on. But I want to tell you this morning, I'm here to tell you 100%, God will use it for his good. He will do it. I don't know how we can say, I can't say it my own little two little beady eyes, but I want you to know God will use it for His good. God is that kind of a God. God was not surprised by what happened at Sandy Hook. God wasn't, but He was saddened by it. I want you to understand that. God did not cause this tragedy, but He does comfort those that are affected by it. Amen? God may not prevent future acts like this. I want you to understand that. God may not prevent them, but He can and will provide peace to those who are willing to go to Him and grab a hold of Him. I want you to know that God is waiting to forgive this country, folks. This country does not need more gun control, more laws, more things. You know what this country needs? This country needs a heart transplant, what this country needs. That's what this country, all that stuff may be good and well, but I want you to know till we get down to the heart of it, and as the heart of man is evil, and God's the only thing that can change it, that's what will do it. He's got our attention because of the tender young age of those victims. God's got our attention, right? What about the hundreds and thousands that are being killed every day in the wounds? There should be three places that should be sacred, folks, where kids should feel safe. That's the home, that's the schools, and that's the womb of their mother. Amen? Amen? They should feel safe. And I want you to know something this morning, folks. We look at this country we live in, and I want you to know that abortion is one of those things. They go in and they take those babies right out of the womb and they kill them. Every day. Again, I ask you, where's the outrage? Where's the outrage? I don't see it. I don't see it. And we wonder, millions upon millions, we wonder. This is the time of year where there should be peace on earth. Should be. God is there, folks. I want you to know. He's reaching out. He's reaching out to this country. He's reaching out to individuals. He's reaching out to them. He's wanting them. He's standing right there saying, I love you. I'm right here. Come to me. And it seems like we cannot do. Remember, God is still on the throne, folks. Amen. The God that we serve is still on the throne. Where was He when all this stuff happened? Right there, where He is today. Right, He's right there. He's right here with us today. He's right here with us when tragedy strikes. We've got to know that and understand that. He's right there. Praise the Lord. He's still caring for us. They come and give us a song.